One of the most famous Hollywood movies, On the Waterfront, is about the big East Coast ports of another era, where big union men moved huge crates of goods from ships docking from all over the world.
I want to talk.
Get away from me, will you? All right, take it out. Take it away.
Today, the port system in the United States is largely dominated by mechanized containers moving iPads, sweaters, socks, and food in those boxes you see everywhere. And the East Coast ports long ago ceded domination of the container system to the West Coast, with the ports of L.A. and Long Beach in California on the shores of Hollywood, right at the top of the heap.
Acres and just acres and containers as far as you can see until you see the ocean. It's a whole industry. And so there are about 12 to 20 different companies, different terminal operators like Evergreen and Maersk and those names that you're familiar with existing in this one location. It's like if all the automobile companies, if, you know, GM and Toyota all were in the same exact spot. It's so complicated. Like, it's just there's so many little details and facets and different kinds of jobs that it felt like this kind of never-ending process to kind of, you know, peel it back.
Independent producer Lou Olkowski followed the ins and outs of the ports of L.A. and Long Beach for more than a year. She documented this world for Cargoland, a series produced in collaboration with KCRW's Independent Producer Project. Today and tomorrow, we focus on the workers themselves and the incredible, powerful union that controls these two ports.
Well, the union in the L.A. Long Beach area, it's very powerful. It's the hub of the entire ILWU, which is the International Longshore and Warehouse Union. And there is something patriarchal and old-fashioned. It feels like 1950s. It does feel like it's from another time there. And these jobs have allowed them to hold on to a culture where you can have a single breadwinner and fully support your family.
And their fate is bound up in the union in terms of, seniority and, the level of retirement. Here's Sasha Karlik, who's one of the workers in L.A. and Long Beach.
You know, like so many of us are in a catch-22. You know, I've invested 10 years of my prime. You know, I'm not getting younger. And now if I walk out and just, like, stop taking every job I can possibly get to, then almost guaranteed I won't get in the union.
What is Sasha talking about there, that struggle that sounds so arduous?
Well, Sasha is what they call a casual worker, which basically means he does longshore work, but he works and does the work that's left over every day. So, like many of us, we hear in the news how, you know, those guys, those longshoremen, make these incredible salaries. They can make six-figure salaries and have these, you know, Cadillac health plans and these great pensions, and they do. But to get into the union has always been difficult. You're either born into it. It used to be that you were born into it. If your father was in the union, you could be invited into the union. But at some point, it was decided that that was nepotism and it went against good hiring practice. And now the way to get into the union is to become what they call a casual worker. And what that is it's a freelancer, except it's this very arduous process where every day on the morning shift and in the overnight shift, you have to call in to see if there's work for you, to see if the union longshore members took it, or if there's leftover work. And if there's leftover work, it can be yours if you're the right spot in line. And so what that means is that for someone like Sasha, he might go down to this casual hiring hall where they give out the jobs, you know, twice a day for 2 or 3, 4 days a week before he gets a job, before it's his turn in line, before there's extra work that they need the casuals to do.
If you're willing to camp out on the front porch of the palace and greedily take every crumb we throw at you for 2, 4, 6, 10, 12 years, we'll invite you in to have a permanent seat at the banquet eventually. But till then, it's like you got no status, you're a third class citizen, and that's kind of what it is being a casual.
Wow.
He's been doing this for over 10 years. You know, it's over 10 years of showing up and sometimes you get a job and sometimes you don't. You show up again. And, you know, to get into the union, the way it works is those casuals with the most hours get in first. So you really want to be down at that hall. You really want to grab every job that you can, because if not, then other casuals are going to get ahead of you in line to get into the union. So even though it's miserable, and, you know, certainly during the recession, these guys weren't working at all. There may be a job once a month at that point. But they had to keep kind of going down and being in tune with it, because if they missed that job, someone could get in front of them in line.
And you've experienced in this whole, you know, series the scale and the hugeness of the ports. And yet you're never able to forget, or at least certainly the workers there, what happens and what it's like when it shuts down. Here's John McLaurin, who is president of the Pacific Merchant Shipping Association.
The worldwide economy had tanked. Nobody was buying anything. Nobody was shipping anything. And so ships were laid up and not going anywhere. It was an incredible sight to see. You would see dozens upon hundreds, really, around Singapore and Scotland and other areas around the world, because there was just no volume.
No money to finance cargo, to finance movement. The ships came to a halt. How fearful were all those folks of what happened there in 2008, 2009?
Well, I think for this industry, I think this was just the most brutal wake-up call. I mean, the industry is already, as I explained, really competitive. You know, cargo flows like water. It's always going to find the cheap, most inexpensive route. And ports are always kind of jockeying, like even the port of LA and Long Beach. You know, they steal a customer here, they bring it back here. So it's fiercely competitive. But once the recession hit, every container mattered so much more, and they got even more competitive than they ever had been.
Lou Olkowski is an independent producer of Cargo Land, a collaboration with KCRW. She's now a producer and reporter at WGBH. We'll continue our conversation about the ports of LA and Long Beach and the threat of automation in shipping on tomorrow's program.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.